Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Gold continuing to broadcast live in St. Joe at Chiefs training camp, practice number 11, I believe, on the offseason, on the training camp portion of the season. Preseason technically is already underway in the National Football League, a little Hall of Fame game last night. We'll get to that, and all eyes were, I guess, on the kickoff. I have some early thoughts.
Early opinions, huh?
Early opinions
about
the new kickoff from what we saw, the Hall of Fame game. You guys can interact with us, as always, on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7610, as we continue broadcasting from the Comcast Business Tent, powering possibilities. Excited a little bit later on today, Cody, in the 11 o'clock hour, we're going to be joined by Chiefs starting corner Trent McDuffie, one of the best cornerbacks in the National Football League. We actually have not had him on our show in 2 years. We had him on his first training camp 2 years ago on this very spot.
Well, so we had high hopes for him, but didn't know what he was going to turn into.
Fast forward, the dude's won a couple rings. He's an all-pro. He's one of the best corners in the National Football League. So looking forward to having Trent McDuffie at some point today stop by. Also, we will hear from Andy Reid as he'll address the media and maybe get an update on some of the things we've witnessed so far this morning, Cody. Still no Nick Bolton. Still no Kadarius Toney. Jalen Watson, though, is practicing for the first time, but he is wearing the old gold jersey, so nobody's allowed to really lean into that shoulder
touch
or anything like that because he's coming off the shoulder injury. But he is back at practice today. No Kelvin Joseph. He was in shorts.
So those things are certainly interesting, and, yeah, I'm hoping Andy will maybe give us an injury update on those guys because you'd like Bolton and Toney back sooner rather than later, obviously, although with Bolton, I know what he's capable of. With Toney, I still feel like he's fighting for a roster spot. So I think for his own sake, he would feel like some pressure to get back to practice. There were two things I noticed, because we always do a little bit of observations at the beginning. Two things I noticed that stood out to me. One, Kingsley is once again getting all the first-team snaps at left tackle. What has been added to that, because that's not different than yesterday or the day before, Gold, what is added to that is that at left guard today, first-team starting left guard, because they're giving Toney a little bit of time, Wanye. They're making the transition, dude.
It can be Nick. Well,
they're making the transition. Let's just be honest here. They're going to start giving him time at guard and tackle and everywhere else because he's going to be swingman on the offensive line.
We had seen that earlier in camp, though, right? He got some reps at right guard as well for Trey Smith. He's hopefully going to become Nick Allegretti if he's not the starting left tackle. I think he's a swing tackle, and he's going to be able to play everywhere, though, right? He's going to be able to play left guard, left tackle, right tackle, and that's smart. They like to have flexibility. My reaction when you were talking, sorry, a snap went over the third-string quarterback's head, so not a big deal. But just
who snapped it?
I have no idea from this angle.
It was probably not Creed.
It was the third-string offense, it could have been Morzad or somebody else like that. You want to have flexibility. Wanya Morris providing. That's a good thing, by the way.
Yes, it is.
That he's able to. Somebody on the offensive line is going to be unavailable for a game this year. It just usually is how this goes. And so whether it's Toney having a game off, whether it's Trey Smith, whether it's a day where Kingsley is injured, even if it's for a drive in-game, who can go and play left tackle? So Wanya Morris is going to provide them, I think, the flexibility that they had with Nick Allegretti that they lost until Hunter Norzad, the rookie, is up to speed. Because eventually, I think Norzad is kind of the true Nick Allegretti replacement. But right now, Wanier provides maybe the most opportunity to play different spots.
Well, I think Matt Verderam came on with us yesterday and mentioned that. It's like, well, they don't have an Allegretti. I'm like, I don't know. Wanier's got the athleticism to play left tackle. What, you know? Third-round left tackles turned into really good guards is not an uncommon thing to happen in the NFL. So I wouldn't put it past them to just be like, he's the backup for everybody except center. And if something happens at left guard or left tackle or right tackle at any point this year, Wanier's the first man up. But I do still think Kingsley is obviously, at this point, I don't know why Andy just didn't announce it today. I'm pretty sure Kingsley is the starting left tackle for this team unless something changed. The other one that was really fun, I don't know what it was going on between the two of them, but it is clearly what had happened was Drew Tranquil,
yeah,
and Isaiah Pacheco had decided to be in a pass-blocking battle with each other. So there was a rep, and they were staring at each other, and Pacheco's like, bring it. Mm-hmm. Prove to me that you can get through it. And Pacheco won the rep. He took his helmet off. He was yelling at Tranquil. He was celebrating with his teammates. He was so thrilled to have won that pass-blocking rep.
That's good.
Those two crazies are just having a great time with each other. Bringing maximum energy. So if you're curious if Pacheco still has, like, goes at 130%.
Always.
The answer is yes, and so does Drew Tranquil.
Yeah, every single time. Every single time. Yeah, you love that. Again, it's, nobody wants, you know, fights and punches, but you have no problem with the intensity like that. That's always a good thing. And I did notice that. It's happened a few times. Thinking of Isaiah Pacheco, just ran one in the field to the left of us here. But just thought, yeah, 100 miles an hour. We've all seen it. There was plenty of funny GIFs and memes last football season of other things that Isaiah Pacheco does 100 miles an hour and things, you know, and that's how he plays. That's why he's been able to cement himself as a starting running back in the NFL. And I know we talked about this last week, but for Pacheco, I think the workload increases this year based off of not having Jerick McKinnon, based off of right now it doesn't appear that there's a running back that is a legit passing threat opposite Pacheco. You know, you always had McKinnon. Now I think they're going to leave Pacheco in on third downs more, and they're going to have him build on pass protection, whether that rep is one to point out. He's gotten some side work in front of us at times where he's just working on pass protection. In order for him to be on the field on third downs more, that he's going to have to be able to pass protect, and I think it's something that he's worked on, and he's trimmed down a little bit too.
This is probably not for just Chiefs fans. This is for everybody. But from a fantasy football perspective, he's in the top 7 or 8 of people who don't really have competition for the workload, right? I mean, every year you look for the fantasy guys like, hey, who's in not a shared backfield? And Andy usually
what
goes
is
shared
he? Running back 8? We'll have Paul Charchian back on the show here pretty soon from Guillotine Leagues to talk fantasy football. Is he running back 8 this year in fantasy?
Yeah, maybe.
Something like that
doesn't feel out of the question. Since we were talking about Tranquil and the defense and some of the things that they bring, I was thinking about what Spags had said the other day, and then, of course, this time of year, you're always asking yourself your same question, which is, how high can the defense go? Because Spags admitted something the other day that I do think is important if they want to stay where they've been the last 2 years, which has been a top 5 defense each of the last 2 years. They got to get better at turnovers. If their ceiling is still going to be top 5 defense, in my opinion, with some of the absences, which we'll talk about individually in a minute, but with some of the absences, I think they got to get the ball away from teams more. It takes some of the variance out for when the defense does have these little misnomers. And I think the defense is going to be put to a bigger test this year because the offense is going to put them to a bigger test this year. The turnovers are going to become more important to get the hands in the ball of the defenders. And Spags admitted as much. He said it's been a massive focus this season.
Well, one of the guys that you would like to see some turnovers from is going to join us in the 11 o'clock hour today. That's Trent McDuffie. We know he doesn't have his first interception, but he forces fumbles. I think we had this very conversation a year ago, though, Cody. I don't know if it was at camp or just early in the season, and you would bring up turnovers, understandably so. And ultimately, it got to a point in midseason, you're like, you know what? They're just not going to turn the ball over, and it's fine because they're blank. You're just saying
this
that
this year,
you
it's think, different. I think defense has changed.
We'll see. Maybe so.
I mean, I did give up last year, but it doesn't matter.
It's something you would prefer. You would like to be a team that, of course, forces turnovers and for obvious reasons. But last year, they were a top defense, and that wasn't something they had in their back pocket. If you think that they've got to balance maybe some other inefficiency out with that, that's fair. We know turnovers can also at times be a little fickle. So we'll see, you know, how teams approach going after this defense. Do they try to attack the secondary differently because Legarius Sneed is not here anymore? And so is there more of a vulnerability there in the secondary than they had a year ago, which could lead to teams taking more chances.
Sure.
Does that lead to more interceptions? Does that, you know, how does that all balance out? So, yes, would you like to see more turnovers? Sure. But I feel like we were saying that last year, and yet they were a dominant defense.
No, and I totally agree with you. I would just say that it's year to year, and I would tell you that while the Chiefs were the exception to that rule last year, you would agree that 90% of the time, the elite-level defenses in any given year are turnover machines, man. They get the damn ball. The best teams in the league usually have a good turnover differential, and the Chiefs seemingly have skirted that a couple of times under Andy Reid.
They were, let's see, overall last year still, just because of protecting the football, what were they? Were they middle? They were bottom.
No, actually,
turnover differential-wise, this is just from Football Database, 2023, they were, let's see, minus 11. So, yeah, versus, you know, the worst, you had
one of the worst teams in the league.
Baltimore was plus 12. They had 18 picks, 13 fumbles. They only gave the ball away 19 times. Whereas the Chiefs, the exact numbers on them, 28 total giveaways.
Now, we know that was a big wide that wasn't just Patrick Mahomes.
No, but
that was the ball tipping off of Kadarius Toney's hands like seven
times. Only 8 takeaways, or 8 interceptions, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's
for
crazy
the
low.
But if you're telling me if they protect the ball even better than they did a year ago, because naturally the wide receivers aren't batting the ball up in the air for pick sixes like they did in week one and throughout the year, does that also help your problem where they're just a better turnover differential team because of that?
Do you think this can be the number one defense in the league again? You thought that they were the number one or number two defense in the league.
Yeah, I did last year. I think there will be a little bit of a fallback, but that's fine. Like, if the offense is going to take the step forward like we believe they're going to, from being 13th or 14th, just talking points per game, and suddenly they're back to being 5-7, defensively you could slide to the 5th or 6th best defense, and that's perfectly fine. I don't think they'll be the number one or number two defense. They lost one of the top cornerbacks in the NFL.
They did. And they lost the linebacker, which, again, we'll talk about in just a minute. They didn't lose anything else, though, right? I mean,
nope.
All the other
they'll
linebackers are back. All their
sure.
other safeties are back. All the defensive line is back. Spags is back. That's a key to a huge part of this conversation, by the way. I'll just be honest. Because if you say, what will help them maintain top defensive status, Spags is on the list, isn't he? Very few teams get to keep this level of defensive coordinator around. One of the, I think the only guy, right, to win multiple Super Bowls at defensive coordinator for multiple teams.
Right.
Since he has taken over the job, he's a second head coach. He does the job phenomenally. It is really hard to not think this defense will at least be pretty good under Steve Spagnuolo, because they've been at least pretty good every year under Spags, except for maybe like one time. And that was when there was a talent deficiency. Based on just the same number of players, it's hard to imagine there's not a talent deficiency. It's the same dudes. Like, it's the same guys from last year. It's not a talent problem. We'd be having a very different conversation if it wasn't Chris Jones who signed back.
Oh, well,
We'd be having a very different conversation.
If Chris Jones didn't sign back, they probably don't trade Snead. So then you're saying, okay, your secondary set, but how are you getting to the sack number? And is even more of the question about Karloftis taking the leap and more pressure. And they also would have had to bring somebody else in. Let's just call it like it is. There would have been another defensive lineman. But keeping Chris Jones for obvious reasons makes life easier for Karloftis. For Minnehue, when he eventually comes back from the ACL, you would like to say it should make life easier if the snaps increase for a Felix Anudike type,
sure.
or a Mike Dana. And fortunately, it's not a scenario that we have to worry about. Chris Jones, of course, is back. Back at practice over the last 2 days after missing one a few days ago. And we'll see if he stops by today after practice as well. Coming up in about 20 minutes, we will, as you said, talk more about the linebackers and where they are positioned there. Plus, one thing that is happening in sports, and it's honestly kind of sad to see for a player of their skill set. So we'll get to that in just a bit. But the Royals, man, they kicked off this 4-game series in a big way against the Tigers yesterday. I said I won 3 of 4. I think you need it when you consider the schedule.
Got game one.
They got game one, and tonight they get their ace, Cole Reagan's on the bump. The Tigers have their ace, and Skubal on the mound as well. But it's so simple sometimes, you know? Cody, if you get a great outing like Seth Lugo gives you, and then let's see, your number two hitter hits a home run and has
the number three hitter. It's two home runs.
That usually you're going to win baseball games. That's simple.
I'll be honest.
Simple.
Good strategy. Good strategy. The old dub there, Gold. No doubt about it. But Lugo puts up more starts. He is more pitch efficient than anyone on this entire rotation. Every single start, like if I just turn the Royals game on in the sixth inning on a Seth Lugo start, they're all exactly the same. It's the sixth inning. Seth Lugo's given up one run, and he's on pitch like 13. Like, somehow he's not managed to pitch to anybody this entire game, or he's on pitch 71, if we're being realistic. He keeps his pitch count so efficiency.
He's just
so
smart. He's very smart.
This is what they talked about. They wanted guys who are in the strike zone. He doesn't throw a lot of balls. He forces you to swing.
He doesn't have the best stuff on the team, but he mixes 8-9 types of pitches, and he's really smart. I can't remember early on the year. Maybe it was Vern who made the comparison. You know, Jeremy Guthrie was a really smart pitcher, right? Didn't have the best stuff, but really smart. That's why he was so effective when he got traded over from Colorado. Seth Lugo doesn't have better stuff than Cole Reagans or Brady Singer, but he's really smart how he utilizes his pitches. He trusts his defense behind him, and the way they've built this roster, it fits. And he's also having a career year. He's having a really special season.
He really is.
And he's probably, probably not replicating this again. So let's enjoy this. What a signing it was. And he, along with Reagans and Singer, are why we say it over and over, why they're in the spot that they are, which is now a game up. Half a game up in the second wild card spot.
I know people don't like to admit it because there's always going to be the anti-analytics crowd. He also is the biggest embracer of it. You realize that there are some advanced numbers why the Royals and why other teams started using him as a starter. Some of the spin rates, some of the things that you want out of a pitcher that make them hard to hit are in favor of Lugo. He is having a career year, but what might have happened is he spent 5 years in the bigs as a reliever and the rest of the league screwed up. They put him in the wrong spot. He should have been a starter the whole damn time, or he unlocked something, because he was a good starter last year. He's a great starter.
And now he's officially over his career innings for a season, officially yesterday. During the game, he went over his total from a year ago in San Diego. So every inning he pitches now. For the next 2 months, every inning is an extra inning that he's never had in his career.
I love seeing Vinny. For a season. You'd mentioned he had two home runs last night. Friend of the show and future, I hope, NFL insider Vinny Pasquantino.
I think we'll have him back.
I assume he'll be back for year three. No reason to think not.
Could be a lot longer though. It could be. Late October though.
Week seven.
Vinny might have to be our NFL insider. Our NFL insider. Late October, man.
Who's going to fill in for him? Mm-hmm. We're going to need to get a former Royals player to fill in for him. But when the two home runs he hit last night, really underrated. I think I said it in passing yesterday, so maybe it didn't ring as true. With Vinny, he has been flying. I said in Vern's pregame, he has been flying under the radar because Bobby Witt Jr. has been doing super.
He's hitting 500
human.
In a month.
He's hitting 500 this month already. 2-for-4 last night. He went 2-for-4 last night, right?
Just a ho hum day.
And a walk. Yeah. A double. A home run. A walk. God, just so ridiculous. I can't. It's just so stupid what he's been doing. Vinny has flown under the radar. Do you realize that Vinny has literally hit better every single month the entire year? He was better in May than he was in April. He's better in June than he was in May. He's better in July than he was in June. And, I don't know, good start to August, I'd say. He's slugging he's got an OPS of almost 1,000 in the last 30 days. He has become a true middle-of-the-order hitter. I don't know, maybe he's a slow start guy. Because back-to-back Aprils where he's been a bit slow start, but he is absolutely ripping it. The three of them, the Bobby-Vinny combo, the Bobby-Vinny-Salvi combo has been tremendous.
It has, and at a needed time, every game is magnified. But this is, if I'm not wrong, right, this is the first full season in the big leagues because of the injury.
He only played 60
right?
games
last year. So this is the first full season for Vinny who's going to play, a .162 essentially, or whatever. It's going to 140
or whatever.
Which is kind of
crazy because he seems like such a professional hitter.
Yeah, and so now we're seeing what it's like when you can have his bat for an entire year and the adjustments that you make throughout a season. And now you're over a year removed from the shoulder surgery because he had the surgery late last May, early June or whatever it was.
And what a difference!
So now he is a full year plus removed from the surgery. I wonder if that's speculation. I don't know. We could talk to him, but I wonder if that also is why now you're not even thinking about it, I'm sure, anymore, anything like that, and you're completely healthy, and it's just that was a long time ago, the surgery.
It was. And we never did get confirmation of his arms shorter, like Drew claimed.
No, I think he did.
He said he wasn't sure.
He texted him.
At the time, he's like, I have no idea.
I doubt they're shorter.
I did text him, but he did
whatever
not
it is, yeah.
Vinny is – he. Bobby's going to be what Bobby is. Salvi's going to be the free. There are some knowns in the Royals lineup, but I don't think it was unfair to put Vinny. Vern and I put Vinny in the known category before this season. It was not unfair to not be sure about that, though, because when you were going into the year, he'd played 60 games last year, he'd started a little bit slow, then got really hot, and then unfortunately had to have the surgery in order to repair the shoulder. And then it's like, is he going to be right, but can he see the ball again? And that might explain his slow start this year. Imagine if Vinny put a whole season of his last 2 months together because he gets a normal offseason. He would have seen pitches. Gold, he could have started slow this year because he didn't see a pitch for a calendar year. It wasn't that long, but it was a little while in between. That game was just – that's the ideal game. Your starter goes 7-8 innings, dominates, Bobby's hitting homers, Vinny's hitting homers. That game was never a sweat.
Correct.
It was never a sweat. I sat back and watched the whole damn thing. I didn't even worry for half a second. They brought the
– Oh, it gets over early, too, because it was early –
It was over before 8 o'clock.
You know, Vern was on at 4:30, just like today. Vern was on at 4:30. It's in Detroit, so they play – you know, the game starts earlier our time, and you're done pretty early in the evening. Tonight, probably going to be a sweat, though, right? I mean, you're going up against one of the best pitchers, or maybe the best pitcher in the American League, against
Reagan's
the other
beat
guy
him the last time.
Against another guy that's a top five pitcher in the American League. Yeah, Reagan's beat him the last time, but
yeah,
Reagan's at Skuball is a hell of a matchup tonight. I'm looking forward to watching and listening to that tonight.
On Apple TV tonight, by the way.
On Apple TV Plus, and in the noon hour today at 12:30, we're actually going to have the man on the call of the game over on Apple TV Plus, Wayne Randazzo. He is part of the broadcast crew for Friday Night Baseball on Apple TV Plus.
You got Apple TV Plus?
I've had it off and on because so I have Apple TV app on my my TV, but you know, if you want like MLS, you got to pay extra for MLS. If you want some of the baseball games, you have Apple TV Plus. You got to
I think I just have regular Apple TV. I don't think I've got that. Well, I don't have the MLS package.
That's just an add-on.
Okay.
But for baseball,
well, then,
I think
then
you're
I'm good.
Good
for the baseball.
I think you're good.
Otherwise, I'm just going to have to tune in to 610 Sports Radio.
That's right.
As always, if you can't watch the game, you can listen.
I do want to get a national perspective, though, so I'm actually excited to have
Me too.
Wayne on the show. Ask him about Bobby Wood Jr.'s MVP case. How do they perceive, for someone who's not in Kansas City, how do they perceive what he's doing, comparing it with Aaron Judge and what he's doing? We looked at the updated odds today as well. FanDuel, Bobby's down to plus 440. He was 7-1 three nights ago. He's plus 440.
Like a week ago.
Yeah, and in
2 weeks ago,
Judge was minus 1400, huge favorite. He's down to minus 900 and something. I think at last check.
So. This is one of those betting ones. You'd be like, you missed it. You're like, well, I want to bet Bobby to win MVP. Too late. Yeah, you should have done it 2 weeks ago. That was your time. He was still hitting 450 in the month.
I mean, at 4-1, I don't know if it's unbettable.
No, but it's just sometimes if I feel like I miss the window to get the 10-12-1, I'm not as interested in betting the 4-1.
I hear you. No,
it's still technically a long shot because the other guy's a minus 900 favorite. They're still saying he's a heavy favorite to win the award.
Correct. Yes, you would have preferred getting it preseason at 20-1 or whatever. Yeah,
it was probably
30-1.
Yeah, something like that. Whatever it was. So you watched Hall of Fame. You watched preseason football between Tyler Bagent and
a lot of Brett Rippin.
Brett
man,
Rippin
a lot of Brett Rippin. Night. Look, it was on as background noise after the first two drives. It was background noise, and for those like, what about the Royals game? We live in 2024. There are multiple televisions. I love that. I tweet that I'm watching the football game, and people are like, watch Royals baseball. Like, it is possible
I'm
to have
both.
Two things. One, you could also just have the radio on.
You were also tweeting about the Royals.
Yeah, it's about
you sent a video of Vinny getting a home run.
You can have multiple screens and multiple things. So
a little
bit of both. No, I watched the NFL game, and the reason why I wanted to watch the Hall of Fame game, honestly, was the kickoffs. I was curious to see how that would play out. You know, the new rule change, and it looks super weird. I'll be honest. It just looks weird. It looks fake and phony, and it is the smallest sample size, I'll admit. There was like, I don't know what, six kickoffs or something like that.
Yeah,
the
game,
it wasn't even a full game yesterday. They had weather in the air, and they canceled it in the middle or, you know, into the game in the third quarter. It's one game, but it seems like a giant waste of time. I'm watching these kickoffs. One guy gets flagged because he left too early, which seems like a waste of time. Most of the kickoffs went to the 26-yard line. Maybe everybody's holding things back, and it's a small sample size. But right now it looks like what we said before, which is if we're not going to go back to the old kickoff rules, the kickoffs last year, waste of time. So far this year, they look like the new rule, waste of time.
At least they're doing something, though. In the old ones, they were just kicking out of the back of the end zone. It was a meaningless play. Nothing could go wrong. Nothing went wrong yesterday.
No.
But if there's action, someone could still fumble. Someone still gets tackled.
We'll see.
Someone could break through. I think you're calling this one too early.
We'll see.
I'm not saying it's the most exciting play in football like it used to be.
I mean, they tested it out.
But it's still more like someone physically getting tackled is better than the old version.
It's still a waste of time if we don't start seeing some bigger returns during preseason. If the average spot is going to be the 26-yard line anyway, just so we'll see. I guess I admit it is in very small sample size, but initially it was not an exciting play. It's supposed to be exciting. It was not exciting. We'll
it
see.
Looks they, weird. They tested, it is like, it's like hard for me to watch.
They tested also the 12th man because if you didn't catch on, the NFL this year is going to allow, if there's windy conditions, a 12th player to hold the kickoff. Not like what we see in the past where one of the 11 guys holds it and then runs down. The 12th player, and it's the punter for both teams, the way both – so Tommy Townsend, who's now with the Texans, was holding the kickoff. And once the ball's kicked, he just jogs off to the sideline, and that's it. That's how it goes.
That's it seems –
in every kick, there was no – every kick, they did, basically, it was kicked in the air till about the 3-yard line. And then they, so it wasn't
knows,
nobody tried to do the kind of like pop it up in the air and see if it's different or
they're not. I think
nothing.
You're gonna get some static stuff now. Nobody's gonna want to like tell the world. Or they want to make sure that they can get the kick down there, cover the kick in a normal way.
But
and
I
then
thought,
when the regular season starts, I think we'll get the end around rugby play. I think we'll get the kick it up in the air and try some different stuff to mess with people. I just don't think you're going to get that right away.
Because once the ball hits the ground, everybody can move, remember?
Yep.
So that's why the hang time doesn't matter anymore. Because otherwise you'd say, oh, we'll just pop it straight up in the air right at the 20 and wait. Nope, your team can't run, so it doesn't matter. So that's the strategy part of this. But yeah, last night, no intrigue with it after the first one and no excitement.
It was it's preseason.
Reminder, also
you're describing Stroud preseason
and Kayla
football.
Williams didn't play.
No excitement, no buzz. That sounds like preseason football to me.
Yeah.
Chiefs have one in a week.
Against the Jags.
A week from tomorrow. Week from tomorrow. We'll get an actual preseason football game. Watch Carson Wentz tear it up. He should absolutely dominate preseason football. Are you kidding me? What?
Carson Wentz
He's
could be throwing
He's a former NFL starter. He should be chewing him up.
People are going to freak out. Carson Wentz could be throwing dimes
Justin
to
Ross.
Nico Remigio.
Justin Ross?
Yeah. And we'll see how LRZ does in pass protection, because I'll be honest, at camp, rough.
Carson Wentz has
looks like a guy that hasn't played football before, and it turns out he hasn't played football before.
He's just going to have to learn how to play the sport. He's not low enough. Like, it's all the little coaching things. You don't play with the same leverage point. Like, you have to learn to stand different, tackle different. It's all just kind of a little bit weird. So, yeah, that'll continue to look a little bit different. But, yeah, Carson Wentz will look pretty good, though. I'll say that.
All right, we continue broadcasting from training camp. Our coverage presented by Technology Group Solutions, the official IT provider of your Kansas City Chiefs. We mentioned the linebackers and what we've seen so far out there. One player's no longer with the Chiefs, but there's another player that makes that an easier transition. And someone that at one point in time was considered on a path to be the greatest of all time has no chance at getting there. We'll tell you why and why it sucks next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more rings, two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Back here in St. Joe at Chiefs training camp. A reminder, we're going to be joined in the 11 o'clock hour by Trent McDuffie, Chiefs starting corner, one of the best cornerbacks in the NFL. Also going to hear from Andy Reid. Our guy Nate Taylor from The Athletic will stop by after practice for kind of a weekly check-in with him to see what he's seen this week. He gets a little different vantage point than where we're at. Every day kind of rotates around where they do their team drills. So today, unfortunately, the field right in front of us there is empty during this exact portion, and then the field to our left is where they're doing a lot more of the activity today. And yet again, Xavier Worthy, I don't know, 2 minutes ago, with another deep connection from Patrick Mahomes. That continues to be a trend, to say the least, as we are broadcasting from the Comcast Business Tent, powering possibilities.
It's been fun out here at camp. It's actually not
so far today. It's nice
today.
Yeah.
Got a
little wind today. Yeah, a little breeze, man.
The breeze helps.
Breeze
is
good.
That's a big help. They have rotated five different names, I think, at corner two. They really do not know what they like at corner two.
Jalen Watson.
I'm officially becoming concerned. I'm not gonna. I'm not
concerned because number one corner is Trent McDuffie, and so how many teams have one of the better corners and then a number two that's Legarius Sneed like they did last year? That's why they were so dominant. But, yeah, I mean, Joshua Williams has not taken a stranglehold on it yet. Jalen Watson is just now getting back. Mm-hmm. And I guess good news for him is
nobody's won the job.
Nobody's won it while he was gone. Now, he's still in a gold uniform like Pacheco wore all of camp last year. So they're not allowed to get as physical with him as they are the other corners yet.
On the flip side, though, here's the good news. While I am a little worried, I'm not concerned, it's not like a 10 out of 10 or whatever, what they'll do at corner two, you could make that same argument for linebacker. They lost Willie Gay, a player who's played a lot for them over the years and an important player for them. I'm gonna tell you, I don't care at all. I actually think they got better. I'm not worried about Willie Gay's absence even a little, and that is because of a man named Leo Chanel. He has been so good in the moments they let him, and at camp now, I'm convinced he's an upgrade over Willie Gay. And if you put him in there every single day, you're going to see an improved coverage, athleticism, and he was pretty good at blitzing in college. So don't feel like I'm losing the sack element. He was really good at getting to the quarterback in college, something I assume they'll be able to utilize him again. I think he's got better ball skills. I just think he's a better linebacker. It's not to knock or bring down Willie Gay completely. I just think Chanel's an upgrade. I'm not worried about that absence at all. I've had people ask me, do you care that they lost a linebacker? I'm like, nope, because I think he's just as good.
Well,
if not better.
I think it's more that they still have Nick Bolton and they have Drew Tranquil, who will only get more and more playing time. You know what I mean? Like, and I think that's why you're confident, because the other two linebackers that you still have.
I mean, that didn't hurt, but I mean, those guys were on the roster last year.
Right,
and Willie Gay still played a good amount.
But of the three linebackers last year, which one would you have been worried about losing more? Nick Bolton, in my opinion, or
Drew Tranquil. Yeah, basically,
you know?
The way they played, yeah.
Chanel just offers a little bit something different. That's what it is. I mean, I think some of the Willie Gay stuff is just the overall opinion maybe since he got in the league that some people, including yourself, maybe have had about him as a player the minute he got drafted, the offseason
he
had.
I think he was fine as a second-round player.
I think he was very good for them.
Yeah.
And he's down, in New Orleans now or whatever, I think.
Yeah.
No, Chanel, the blitzing is what's exciting, is going to be. We know the numbers. I'm sure Bink's going to text me in a second some of the raw athletic score stuff. But
Was he a big Raz guy?
I believe his athletic stuff was off the charts. So he's going to provide that, and in the blitz scheme, that's where it could be exciting. You know, we'll see if there's any growing pains. But this is, he's not coming in as a rookie, at least. He knows his defense really well. And, yeah, if you're highlighting areas that you think could be weaker, it's more about number two corner. It's more about wondering the left tackle spot and things like that than it is the linebacker spot with Willie Gay.
I'm just not worried at all. I think Chanel is, if we did the give me your breakout player, he's my answer. I don't know if your answer is different, but he's my answer. If you say, who's a player that we talk some about, but we'll be talking a lot more about by week 18 this season, it's Leo. I just think he's got the skill set to kind of fit perfectly inside this defense, and he gets to be free roaming. He doesn't have to run the defense. That's Bolton. He doesn't have to be the backup guy who runs the defense. That's Tranquil. He's just like a, you know, like the dog you sick loose. Like, okay, we're going to put you here and just go 1,000% right now, because he's definitely 1,000% guy. Hey, I give it every single snap guy, and that's obvious based on his play. I just think he's better. I think he's more athletic. I think he's more skilled. I think he's more fluid. He moves better, because Willie Gay was not a bad player. That's not what I would say. It's not like a waste of a second round pick. You got 4 years.
I think he was their most athletic linebacker last year.
And I think Leo's more athletic.
Well, and based off the metrics,
yeah,
would say that. But so what's the trade off? Is that, does he, can you make up for some other areas because of the athleticism?
Yeah,
that's what
I think.
We're
I think
see.
You can just, yeah, get places faster. You can, you know, it's the logical thing. You can do everything. If you're 5% more athletic, hypothetically, just as long as you know the defense as well as Willie Gay does, you can do things 5% better, 7% better, 10% better. And they need a true athlete, because that's what they're going to need the linebacker to rotate through. Because that's not Tranquil, and that's not Bolton. Bolton is not just some superior. He's a tackling machine.
He's a thumper.
He's a thumper, and he knows what the hell he's doing. He knows every single thing that defense is about to do.
And by the way, Nick Bolton still not practicing today. Jack Cochran, our guest yesterday, is getting reps with the one still. Doesn't sound like the Bolton injury is serious, but enough for two straight practices now.
Yeah, and then they're going to get they practice tomorrow, and then they're off a couple of days, right? Or they're off a day. They get Saturday.
They're either off tomorrow.
No, they're off tomorrow. They're off Saturday, and then they're back on Sunday. Sorry.
They'll all be going to the Morgan Wallen concert tonight.
You think so? Was anybody there last night? I didn't pay attention.
They had practice today. I bet you not. They had practice today. I think tonight's the night they go. Creed Humphrey, Trey Smith. I'm going to go. I will bet you lunch that one, if not both, are there tomorrow. Or
I would take that bet, but I'm just losing money.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to just buy you lunch.
Yeah.
The odds, like, Creed just fits a country music concert. He's got the, like, I mean, I don't have the mullet now. He's a little more clean cut. He just looks like the kind of guy who'd be at a Morgan Wallen concert.
Well, he's gone to other country concerts at Arrowhead in the summertime. Someone brings
Oklahoma
up
boy.
A fair point. There's the mentality of Leo Chanel they remember from his rookie year. Remember one of the first questions he was asked is, like, what do you love about football? He's like, I love to hit people. And then and he just had a grin on his face. Like,
I like to hit people.
He's a football sicko, basically.
Yeah.
You know, that's what you want in a linebacker, though.
Yeah, you don't want it at every position, because I think sometimes it, like, you run to, like, you make mistakes because of that. At linebacker, I want you just, like, downhill all the time like a madman. I want you to maybe be mentally unwell a little bit, in a sense that you don't even think about your own safety. You just physically react, because the best linebackers seem to do that.
We'll get to Q's coming up in just a few minutes, but I do want to talk some baseball, and not so much Royals, but someone that it's kind of sad, frankly, but amazing how quickly narrative can shift on one of the better players in baseball.
It's just sad.
And Mike Trout, who is now out for the season with another meniscus tear. He maybe
same
tried
meniscus
to rush back. Who knows? But the matter of fact is, the games in the second half don't exist for him. In 2021, zero games played in the second half. In 2022, he only played in 40. 2023, he played in one. This year, he's obviously not playing in a single second-half game. This was someone that was on the track to be in the GOAT conversation in baseball.
It's one of the most talented players I've ever seen.
That is long gone.
Yeah.
Based on availability. And
he's going to turn into Bo Jackson.
And he's, I'm sure, still going to be a Hall of Famer. But there's more questions on the first ballot stuff. I think he probably still is that. But if he's not playing baseball games for a bulk of his career, which is now what it is, man, it's wild to see the downward spiral of someone that just, you know, just could not stay healthy. He has not played in more than 130 baseball games since 2019. He played in 2022, he played 119 games, but I mentioned he only played 40 in the second half. He got off to an unbelievable first, what, 8 years in the league?
I mean,
greatest of all time conversations.
Maybe one of the best 8 years, probably the best 8 years for
two-time or three-time MVP, like all of that.
He didn't succeed in the playoffs, but
now he was an All-Star still last year, right? He only played in 82 games, still made it to the All-Star game. But the conversation around him is so different. You think about great players. You mentioned Bo Jackson, but the talent, just their body failed them.
How
Bo
old
Jackson,
is he?
King Griffey Jr., right, was another one.
Starting at age about 30, King Griffey Jr. spent about 5 years not playing a full season of baseball until he was like in his later 30s and finally clicked it back in. And but by then, he wasn't the same player. Griffey's probably the answer. Is Trout like in his early 30s now?
Right now?
Yeah.
Mike Trout is 32.
Yeah, that's the same age King Griffey Jr. was when his body just broke down. I think there's part of it where you are just such
turns 33 in like 3 days.
When you are such a good athlete that eventually all the things that hold your body together just stop holding it together. It's depressing. He is one of the most talented players to ever play the entire sport, and we haven't been able to see him. He's never played an important game, Gold. He played in one playoff series. One. Who has the kind of career? One playoff series? I never got to see him in a single important at bat, not a single ALCS. His body's failed him. His career's done.
Well,
like, just be honest, it's done. Like, I mean, maybe he gets another season where he squeezes out 100 games and all that stuff, but I mean, he can't get on a baseball field anymore.
I mean, I think we'll see him in the big leagues again, but I don't think he's just retiring.
No.
I mean, he's also got financial reasons not to do that. Remember, next year he's making $37 million. 2026, he's making $37 million. He's guaranteed all the way through 2030, Cody.
Oh, my God. He's got six more years.
Yeah, he'll be 38 at the end of the contract.
That's the age. He signed a 12-year, $426 million deal.
That's right.
It is really, really hard to watch. Yeah, God, he's going to make $37 million.
So, yeah, he's not retiring. Are you kidding me?
I don't think
Why would you?
When I say career done, he's never going to be the same player again.
Well, he hasn't been. He hasn't been the last couple years.
And if you're the Angels, what do you do with him? He just goes down and is like, every year you just trot him out, and he's just the biggest what if he had put it all together. Because you remember, when he was healthy this year, he was dominating again. When he's on the field, he is a top 10 player in baseball still. When he is actually on a baseball diamond, but he's not on a baseball diamond very often. So what do? No one's going to take on that contract, but then he just sits on your roster for 100 games a year and is just this what if every second he's on the field. But nobody would ever take on that deal. Royals couldn't take on Mike Trout. They'd have to cut him, pay him $37 million for the rest of eternity. I don't even know how you handle it if you're the Angels. It's just sad.
Can
you go
I
to the answer?
NFL
it's just
comparison?
Sad.
Sure.
Is Mike Trout J.J. Watt?
No, just because of the position, I don't think, right? Just because of the position. I get what you're saying. Like, he never won the ring, and obviously it was great, and then injuries hurt him. But I don't think so.
Yeah. JJ Mike Trout still be a Hall of Famer, though?
That's where it gets interesting, though. He's 32.
Because JJ's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, he's 32. Did he do enough in the 8 year, 9 years before? I think he did. Like, from age 19 to 27, did Mike Trout do enough? And I think the answer is still yes.
I will say, I do think
he won three MVP awards, too.
The more I think about it, the Angels should be contracted. There should be only 29 teams in baseball. They should not be allowed to be a franchise if you have Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani and have absolutely nothing to show for it. You literally had two of the single greatest players I've ever seen, and you didn't even get – you got one playoff series between the two of them.
The contract that he signed, you said it, 12 years, $426.5 million. Here's what – he got an MVP season during the new contract in 2019, top five finish in MVP voting in 2020.
Because he played.
And then he's had a bunch of injuries from 2021 to 2024. But the Angels as an organization, yeah, they don't have anything. Mike Trout was a 7.9 war player in 2019 when he won MVP. 2.7, 1.8, 6.2 in 2022. This year he was a 0.9. In 2023 he was a 2.9. This is what he is now.
If he can stay healthy, he's still a great player. He will help you win games. They've just squandered every opportunity. I can't imagine having Mike Trout and then having years of Shohei Ohtani and getting nothing out of it.
Yeah, they had American League Rookie of the Year,
franchise.
AL Rookie of the Year in Ohtani in 18, and MVP Trout in 19, and they got nothing.
They didn't even go to the postseason. What are you doing, Artie Moreno?
That was still the right deal to sign. I know people are like, oh, well, that was a terrible extension to get Mike Trout. No, it wasn't, because at the time, Mike Trout was heading. He had MVP season, and he was 27. He was the best player in the world.
And then his body.
He was the best player in the world.
He was.
And that'd be like any other player right now that we think is currently, you know, the two or three best players, whether it's Bobby Wood Jr. or whatever. That's what people were saying about Mike Trout. Got the contract, and then his body failed him.
Yeah, it's just tough.
All right, Q. Let's get to Q's Q's here on Cody and Gold. He's back in the studio.
All right, we're going to start off like we've done all week. We're going to start with the Olympics. We talked a little bit about Simone Biles and her continued dominance in really all of the Olympic gymnast competitions. She won all-around gold yesterday, becoming the first gymnast to win two non-consecutive titles and the first woman to own Olympic all-around gold medals since 1964-68, where some lady whose name I'm not going to even attempt to pronounce because it's Russian.
Okay.
Won it.
Okay.
My question has to do with her press conference where she wore a goat necklace after clinching her second all-around title. Do you like it or do you not like the fact that she wore the necklace?
Oh, I'm cool with it. You backed it up. How am I supposed to complain about it? I mean, if you put it on
Are people mad?
Yeah, of course they're, they're
people,
mad.
People are mad. They just don't like Simone Biles then, which that's a whole different conversation. Yeah, who cares? She's wearing a goat necklace. She is the goat.
Next, let's move to baseball, where this is just the most baseball story I think I've ever heard, where Cubs outfielder Mike Tauchman's wife, Elaine, had an OBGYN appointment. She's pregnant on Thursday morning. And then his wife reminded him that the last time that they had a doctor's appointment, he delivered a walk-off home run, which was June 6th against the White Sox. They had an appointment yesterday morning. Last night, the outfielder hit a two-run walk-off home run. He is claiming it's because of his wife reminding him of that. And why is baseball – this is a baseball story. This only happens in baseball. Baseball is so superstitious.
Well, I actually saw what happened because – so he hits the walk-off, and then the interview – so, of course, his teammates rip his jersey off or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And so then they dunk him just like they would do with Salvi Splash, but in Chicago they dunk him, and the water or Gatorade was full of sunflower seeds or whatever. So he's doing the post-game interview with their version of Joel Goldberg, shirtless, okay? He's shirtless, and he's just got, sunflower seeds all over his chest and stuff because of that. But the OBGYN part, that is wild.
It's always crazy to me the different levels of what people go through on that end, because you could just go into labor, obviously, at any particular time. You remember Jason Kelsey's wife, Kylie, they were traveling at the Super Bowl. They bought their OBGYN a Super Bowl ticket to sit next to them just in case she went into labor. Sometimes you got to make things happen when you're a pro athlete, you know?
Isn't this the most baseball story, though? Like,
yes.
The whole, superstitious, mm-hmm. This would never happen in the NBA or the NFL, and
it's
don't know why.
It's a dad strength thing, you know? It's always part of that, too. Imagine if Bobby ever has a kid. He'll be unstoppable. He'll have that maximum debt. Like, Patrick Mahomes, since having kids, just keeps winning Super Bowls. Although he technically had one, I think, before he had any kids.
That's right. I think that's right.
But two with. That's more with. Than
another one on the way. Another one on the way.
Super Bowl or kid?
Both.
Yeah, okay. There we go.
Both. Both are on the way. I think that's going to actually happen.
He said he was done.
Final,
he said he was done having kids.
Final Q's here. It's actually a good thing that baseball is doing. For the first time, the start of the World Series may move up if the league championships end early. So baseball could begin their World Series schedule 3 days earlier. That depends on when the Championship League series end in the previous round. The adjustment would eliminate a potential break in the action. And this they want to do this because of the argument that, you know, baseball teams, when you're hot, and taking that break could break some of that chemistry. I think this is a good thing for baseball.
No, this is crazy to me that this is the second time, because pace of play is the first. This is the second time that, for as much as we make fun of baseball for being the old man sport, they're right. What the hell has taken these leagues so long to do this, Gold? Remember we waited like a week for NBA Finals Game 1? It's stupid. You should just keep playing the sport. I understand the complications. The fan part is the complication. Because, Gold, if you are planning on going to watch your team in the World Series in Kansas City, it might be hard to take a Tuesday off when you thought it was going to start on a Friday. I understand that. But these leagues should not be waiting. Capitalize on the momentum you have and start the series while people are thinking about the sport.
Right. No, I'm with you. I mean, the NBA, it's ridiculous. You lose steam. You said it's unfortunate fans travel-wise. That is such a small fraction, though, of the fan base versus the television audience, which is what this is all about. I love it. Like, keep the momentum, not only for the teams, you know, Q, you mentioned for teams, but I think for fans. Like, you're like, okay, I was all into this series. I was fired up for the series, and I got to wait a week. So, no, I think this is really, really smart for baseball. If the AL and NLCS were to be really quick sweeps or whatever, Yeah, why have a long layoff? I love that. Now, maybe some team will regret that, you know, if they got a pitcher that's a little banged up or something and they need the extra, or an outfielder tweaked an ankle, and, you know, the extra 4 days would have been great for them. I don't know. Maybe that happens, but that's just the way – that's the way this thing goes. But someone said, though, that baseball cannot be ending near Halloween anymore, because there was a point in time where it would go to, what, November 3rd? There was, like, one possibility they would have.
The Royals won in November. They won their World Series on November 1st.
And then, is that right? And then the parade was in November, but it was unbelievable weather.
I couldn't.
It was like, it was 65 or 70 degrees.
I couldn't believe how nice it was.
It was like 65 or 70 that day. I was just wearing a long sleeve shirt. That was it. No coat, no gloves needed or anything.
No,
and it was
just in a t-shirt and shorts
for the parade.
Or jeans or whatever. I don't know.
It really was. Someone says, is that Morgan Wallen playing in the background? I believe it is. Yeah, I believe it is. He's in town, but the soundtrack is all over the place today at practice. That is coming directly from the Chiefs in the background. So if you caught that, yes, he's at Arrowhead tonight. I wonder if it's a coincidence or just on purpose that little Morgan Wallen today. I'm telling you, some of the guys are going to the concert tonight.
I think so. I'm going to ask. Trent McDuffie's going to join us coming up when practice ends, so maybe like 30 minutes or so from now. Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask him, because we asked yesterday, and
I don't know if he's going. I think it's the offensive line unit's going.
I'm
going
to ask if anyone's going.
Yeah.
I don't know what kind of music Trent McDuffie likes. He could like country.
Let's find out. I've told you, country music has grown on me over the last 3 to 4 years. I don't know if it's just because our sister station, 106.5 The Wolf, the Chiefs are on that, and so it's naturally the station set on. I enjoy, I like the new country stuff. Luke Combs or Morgan Wall, like, there's some good, very good songs. Now, I don't like the real, real country. Some people that are diehard country fans were probably like,
what do you mean
don't really...
real, real country, like Brooks and...
Well, Brooks and Dunn actually came on the stage last night at Morgan Wall.
Wait, for real?
Yeah, they did. They, I believe, for one song or whatever. I don't like the country from the 90s, not my thing. I like new country, and some would say that's not real country, but whatever.
No,
it's grown on me. I enjoy it.
I just don't listen to
it. Like, 6 years ago, if you would have said, 6 years ago, like, even on my dating profile, it said, you know, music and, like, anything but country is what it used to say.
Oh, you change it? That says anything?
It just doesn't have any music selection. It's just blank.
I also just think that's part of dating, is that you have to, like, everybody's not going to like the same stuff. You got to adjust and adapt. And anymore, like, you should probably know a little Taylor, you know?
Oh, well, yeah. You know? I think everybody likes Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
Who doesn't?
She is a superstar, especially here in Kansas City, you know? You couldn't get away with it here in Kansas City. Never again.
Someone says someone would call today's country music hip-hop. Okay. Okay.
I don't know anything about new or old country, I'll be honest. It's the only music genre I don't listen a ton to, but it's fine.
We continue broadcasting here our training camp coverage presented by Technology Group Solutions, the official IT provider of your Kansas City Chiefs. As you said, practice could be wrapping up in about a half hour or so, but some huge news in the AFC West. It could play a role in how things go for one team. And we'll get into one decision that you're actually good with the Royals rushing. We'll explain that next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.